Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is sponsored, as always, here on a Monday by the great folks over at TouringPlans.com. The folks over at TouringPlans.com are crucial to your next Disney vacation because they're going to keep you out of lines and having a great time on your Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Let's face it, the whole family wants to see their favorite attractions and shows, and you want to have time to do the little things too, like go back to your resort and swim, and just enjoy the sights and sounds of Walt Disney World and Disneyland. When you have your premium subscription to TouringPlans.com, you can cut out 4 hours of standing in line each day of your Disney vacation just by using the information that is right in your hand on the mobile app lines. And it's just going to give you the peace of mind knowing you're going to have a great trip and avoid the crowds. Check them out today and make your next vacation great. They're over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 697 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Hola! Happy Monday to you. I can't remember how to say it in Spanish, but it is Cinco de Mayo, and I hope that you're having a great Monday. You know me, I'm going to be up at Las Fuentes Mexican Restaurant here in Florissant, where I'm the mayor on Foursquare for a reason, because I love my fajitas. And even though it's not Friday, I'm going to be celebrating Fajita Friday up there. And always celebrate Cinco de Mayo responsibly, please, out there. Make sure you're smart about it today and tonight. And, so you can come back on Wednesday and we could talk some more Disney. So joining me today, we're going to have a great trip report. We're going to talk about being a local, a Florida resident down and visiting Walt Disney World and all the perks that go along with that. We have a friend of the show, John Scanlon. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Glad to have you. And today we're going to talk about what it is like to be a Florida resident down at Walt Disney World, because I think a lot of us dream of that. But the way you tour the parks as a Florida resident is very different. I know that we were, you know, talking off air about how I've got, you know, we're working on the podcast cruise for 2015 in July. And, you know, Florida residents will say, hey, let's go to the parks this weekend. And so I know what's going on a year out. You might not know what's going on for the next weekend. So tell us what it's like to be a Florida resident and what people that don't live down in Florida or close to the parks don't realize about what it's, you know, how it changes how you see the parks.
It's nice being so close. It definitely changes your planning for a trip. Our typical trips are about 2-3 days at most. We do have a trip coming up for 8 days in the fall, but that's really atypical. But we will typically we'll come up with a plan beforehand because we know our next trip is not far off. So we don't feel pressured to see everything or do everything. We've done trips where we've just done character interactions and no rides, and we've done trips where we've done very few rides and spent a lot of time at downtown Disney or the boardwalk or some of the resorts. So we like to do a lot of different things, and we'll know going into our trip what we're going to do and what we're going to miss out on. And, you know, we never really feel disappointed by missing out on a lot because we know we'll be there again. So definitely a perk of living so close.
Yeah, I think that's got to be it, is that you know, I'm going to be back and it's not going to be, you know, necessarily next year or, you know, maybe 18 months from now until I get to do something again. Because as I get toward the end of my trips, I start to get that anxiety like, oh, I got to do Soarin' one more time because it's going to be a long time before I get that chance again. Or, you know, I got to make sure I'm doing these things in the parks. And like you said, I think that as somebody who is relatively close to Walt Disney World, you get that chance to explore, like you said, the resorts and see the lesser known attractions and go into downtown Disney, spend time in the stores where sometimes, and I shouldn't feel this way, but you know, I think a lot of our listeners do, that I start to feel guilty when I spend too much time at downtown Disney because I wonder, like, what am I missing at Epcot? What am I missing over at the studios? And you know that you might be back a month or two down the line or even less than that. So I'd imagine that, you know, you really do get to see all the little things, which maybe a lot of us skip that only get to go once a year.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we love about Disney. I mean, you know, we love the rides and you like seeing the characters and everything, but it's really the theming that we love. And it's nice to be able to point the little things out to my kids who, you know, all they want to do is ride the rides and see the characters, but occasionally you can point out something that's pretty cool to them. And if you were rushing around or going commando, you might have missed it. So it's kind of nice.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about, you know, you mentioned in the email where we were corresponding that you're a big fan of Fort Wilderness and that is, you know, it's a cool place to stay because there's a lot going on over there and you don't necessarily even have to go into the parks when you're staying there because there's so much to do within Fort Wilderness itself, but also it's very cost effective. So that gives you more chances to get up there more frequently. So tell us about your stays over there.
When we first started camping, we started out with a pop-up camper and, Disney has several different, a lot of campsites do, have several different, basically, rates of stay. And if you're in a smaller, like a tent or a pop-up camper, they have a certain loop. You don't get sewer hookup, but everything else is pretty much the same. And we were staying for $48 a night. We're on Disney property getting all the Disney amenities. So it was very cost-effective. You know, it's something that if you're interested in camping in a tent or you have a smaller trailer and you can, your size-wise, you can fit in there, that's a great way to go because you're still on Disney property, but it's a lot cheaper than the All-Star Resorts. But we did upgrade. We have a 28-foot travel trailer now, and so we had to upgrade to one of the full hookup loops. And we love it. We go there. If we're staying for more than a night, that's what we do. We stay at Fort Wilderness, and you're right there. You're on Disney property. You're close enough to take a ferry to Magic Kingdom. You can see the fireworks at night. You watch the boat parade. You're right there, and cost-wise, it's cheaper than staying at pretty much any of the resorts. So it works out great.
Yeah, I would say it would be cheaper. Plus, you got to think about the savings on top of, you know, things we don't consider that, I guess, with that travel trailer, you have the opportunity to bring some groceries and maybe do breakfast there, maybe some snacks. And, you know, you could probably, if you wanted to, do some full on, you know, lunches and dinners. And, you know, also you get to bring things from home, you know, stuff that bottles, you know, cases of water, cases of soda, stuff like that, where not only are you saving on the lodging, you know, budget itself, but also kind of the little things that, when you're somebody that flies down or, you know, drives down and doesn't have a lot of space to haul stuff that you're going to be paying money for and you're going to pay at a premium at Disney World.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. Anybody who drives there knows that space in your vehicle is at a premium. And if you're towing, a camper, you've got all that extra space. And, we have a refrigerator in there. We do cook our own meals. Most campsites are equipped with a grill, charcoal grill. So, you know, you can cook all your meals. If you want to eat all your meals at the campsite, you can do that and certainly save money that way. You can bring a lot more items. You know, we bring our dog, which is a nice thing that you can't do if you're staying at a hotel unless you want to board the dog. So that's a plus. We don't have to worry about who's going to watch our dog when we go away. And that's really an added bonus in itself. But there's lots of things you can go. You get all the amenities at Disney, all the theming and proximity to the parks that you would at a resort, and yet at the end of the day, you come home, which is a nice thing.
Definitely. So now tell us, you know, maybe one small hidden thing that you really enjoy over at Fort Wilderness that those of us who are, you know, staying over at French Quarter or over at the Polynesian or over at Pop Century or Art of Animation, you know, we haven't never made that leap to try camping and get rustic and get back to nature. What's one thing that you think that our listeners might enjoy that they might not even really know that they could take advantage of over there?
There's lots of them. My kids love the pony rides. And they're cheap. They're like $3 for a ride. You get a fair ride. I mean, for Disney, spending $3 on an activity, you're really making out. We've actually left the parks early because my kids want to go on a pony ride. So they have the Tri-Circle, stables right there on property. It's near the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. And sometimes the hours are a little off. You might have to call the reception outpost just to find out if they're open and what the hours are for that day. But like I said, $3, and you get a nice pony ride, and you can walk around, look at the horses. They also have horseback ride for adults that you can go out on several times throughout the day. And then they have wagon rides at night and private carriage rides at night also. So, you know, there's lots of rustic, woodsy type activities there. And another thing also is if you're staying at Fort Wilderness, even if you're not staying at Fort Wilderness, you don't plan on going to the parks or for whatever reason you can't, you can still do a character interaction by going to the campfire or sing-along with Chip and Dale. And Chip and Dale walk around, you get your picture taken with them, the kids get to meet them, And it's like a typical character interaction without cost of admission to the park. So that's kind of nice.
That's a great tip. And I've heard great things about that, too. Never personally done it. Maybe we'll do it this summer. But, yeah, definitely good advice there. Let me ask you about one more thing about Fort Wilderness, that when I've gone over to Trails End, and I love Trails End, that I'm always curious about. And it's, you know, a couple things. People are riding their bicycles around, which looks like a lot of fun. And I guess you can rent those bicycles because they look pretty uniform. Or I guess you could bring your own if, you know, if you had the means. But also the golf cart rental. So tell us about that. Have you ever rented a golf cart, or how's that all work?
It's actually funny. We never rented a golf cart until my wife and I actually just got back 2 days ago. We went, just the two of us, for our anniversary. And we thought it would be nice to rent a golf cart for one of the days. And so it was our first time. It wasn't really for transportation. It was just to kind of cruise around on a golf cart and look at the different sites and everything. And so our very first trip, we went to Trails End for dinner, and we parked it, and they have a little corral that you can park the golf carts in. And then we parked in the spa. We went in, had drinks at Crockett's Tavern, had dinner at Trails End, came out a couple hours later, and the golf cart was gone. Immediately I thought, you know, being Disney, it was something I had done. Maybe I parked it wrong or something like that. And they assured me they didn't tow it. So apparently, it's kind of a freak thing. Apparently some of the keys will match other golf carts, and we had nothing in the golf cart. So somebody inadvertently took ours. So, but they were real good about it. We went back up to reception outpost, and in no time they had us in a new cart. We just did it for a fun thing. We'd actually considered it, and I don't know if anybody's like me, but I am opposed to the bus transportation, even in Fort Wilderness. And Fort Wilderness is a big place. You really do need some type of mode of transportation. But I don't care for the bus transportation in Disney. So we considered going with renting a golf cart when my son was born, because typically we ride bicycles, but he was too little to ride on a bicycle, so we were thinking of renting a golf cart. And as I said earlier, Disney has several different loops that have different weights. You'll have your full hookup loop, which are further away from everything, and a preferred loop, which is a little different, a premium loop, which is obviously the most expensive and the nicest. And premium loops are within walking distance of everything. It's down by your Trails End, by the pool. Everything's within a 5-minute walk. So if you don't mind walking, those are the ways to go. Just figured they'd be too expensive. Really, it's $20 a night.
Hang on, John, we just lost you there. We were perfect until right then.
Hang on. Okay, you hear me now?
Yeah. So just go from where you were talking about the premium sites being closer to the pool and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, the premium sites are a lot closer. Pool than walk, since everything's within 5 minutes. And the cost to upgrade between a full hookup site and a premium site is typically $18 during the week and $20 on the weekend, whereas the cost to rent a golf cart per night is $62, including tax. So really, if you're just thinking of doing a golf cart purely for transportation and not for the fun of having a golf cart, if you can, you know, if you don't mind walking, it's really beneficial to upgrade, price-wise, to upgrade to the premium site. It'll save you, like I said, $40 a night. So we actually did that, and like everything was within 5 minutes walk, and we had no issues. So when we rent a golf cart, we really just do it for the fun of having a golf cart and riding around on a golf cart, not really for the transportation.
That's what I think I would do. You know, I've looked at it. It looks fun. You know, like, and I want to explore, and I should walk around. I mean, I've been trying to be healthier in the last year, but man, you know, this looks like it'd be a blast to drive around, and I know they're expensive. And like, you know, if you think about it, you can rent a regular car a lot cheaper than $62 a day. So, you know, you're not necessarily getting a good value. And I like that tip, you know, if you want to be close because you don't want to have to, you know, walk forever, don't rent the cart, just get the upgraded site there. So that's a great tip for our listeners. So another thing you mentioned in your email that, you know, being a local, you're trying to get there as many times as you can and have lots of trips, and you want to budget money on, you know, your dining. And you mentioned things like buying a big pizza, you know, and that's not real expensive, or, you know, some biscuits and gravy and stuff like that. So maybe share some of those tips with our listeners that are looking to save a little money to get down there more often.
Yeah, we love, one of the things we love at Disney is eat, you know, going to the different restaurants, trying new things. But obviously, it's not always affordable. So we've gone on budget before, obviously camping-wise. You know, you can cook most of your meals, but even if we're staying at the value resorts or, you know, we just don't feel like cooking, we want to be out. When we're at the parks, we'll typically snack, and I know it's not the most healthy thing, but the kids love it. They don't mind eating a pretzel or a corn dog or whatever, and it fills them up. And, you know, so we'll snack instead of sitting down to a couple of large meals, and that'll save you a lot of money that way. Instead of, you know, paying $40 at Cosmic Rays, you can spend $10 and get two Mickey pretzels and a drink. I'll go whatnot. The kids are wild. The other thing, if you do want to sit down and you want to eat at the resort, the thing that we really thought was a good was a large cheese, about $15, which is about on par with what you would pay.
Hang on, we lost you there again. Sorry, John, we lost you. So just say, we lost you when you said large. I think you were saying cheese. So go from large cheese. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, a large cheese pizza typically runs about $16, which is on par with what you would pay at a pizza place. Now, granted, it might not be of that same quality, but I think they're good. And we have a family of five. My son is only 10 months, so we don't need to really worry about him buying food-wise. But a family of four feeds us, and we have no issues with that. And another thing with the Rapid Fill, when Rapid Fill came into play, another was concerned, myself included. But if you just buy a large soda, and you get three refills per time that you're sitting down, or per time of purchase, I guess. So, three refills on a large Coke typically will last us through the meal. So that's another good way. We'll buy a large pizza and one soda and split, or maybe two sodas and split between four people, and that'll save us money that way. Breakfast-wise, Fort Wilderness is great for this. They have an actual takeout window, and a large biscuits and gravy order is two large, very large biscuits covered in sausage gravy. And it's only $3.69. That's enough to feed two people.
That sounds so good right now.
We had some before we left, and I don't know if it's just me because I like the campground, but something about the ones at Fort Wilderness just tastes better than everywhere else.
I can see when I'm staying over at Wilderness Lodge, maybe a little jog over there in the morning just to sample that, now that you've mentioned it, because that's one of my favorite all-time foods. And I know it's terrible, but you know what? Maybe if I jog 6 or 7 miles, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, I can work it off.
Sounds good. So great tips there. Now, let me ask you this, because being somebody that lives in Florida, you probably get to go up for, like, you know, food and wine and the parties, the Halloween party, the Christmas party. So, how does that kind of change your perspective on, you know, knowing that you can go all times of the year and see these special events too?
As far as the special events go, we typically plan them because they are events, so they do cost more money in addition to our annual passes. We typically won't go to both parties. We've been to both of them now. But we usually ask the girls when it came to deciding which ones to go to, we'll ask them to tell them we can go to one a year. We'll make plans. We'll plan that in advance, and not so much as what day we would go, but which event we're going to attend. And then we'll kind of plan around that, and I'll try and look for which days the parties are going to be on that are going to be the lowest crowds. And we've had great luck with both parties. We've gone to the Christmas and Halloween parties. I think we went on both times. I think the Halloween party went on a Sunday. We were, even before the party started, we came early in the day, and we were walking on everything. And the Christmas party, I think we went on a Tuesday, and it was the same thing. And so we'll typically do a little research. The other thing that my wife and I like to attend is the Food and Wine Festival. And we've gone to that every year, just the two of us, for the last three. And it's the same type of thing. You know, most people, when they go to Disney, even if there's a special event going on, you really need to see all the rest of the parks and do all the rest of the Disney stuff. But if we go for a special event, that's really the only thing that we focus on. So knowing that we're going to be back to do the other stuff, we can really focus on that special event, either a party or the Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. We can really just focus on that and really enjoy a lot more of it by the time.
And kind of along those lines, you mentioned also, too, that you tend to have days where you don't even go into a park. You know, you might spend some time over at the boardwalk, or you might spend some time, in downtown Disney. So is that something where you think that is because you're a Florida resident, you get there so often, and it, like, gives you that opportunity to, like, you know, we're not missing out on the parks, where the typical person who's down there for, you know, 7 days out of a year, you want to make sure you see the big stuff.
I think it's a combination of both. Initially, when my wife and I would go, when we go down alone, we obviously have a different touring schedule than when we bring the kids. But, you know, at some point, if you're down there for 3 days, at some point, either it's early in the day or maybe it's at the end of the day, you kind of are like, kind of done with the theme parks for now. So you're always looking for something else to do. So we just decided to go to the boardwalk one night, and we really liked it, just walking around. And you're so close to Epcot, you can actually walk over and just walk World Showcase. But we liked, you know, checking out the different hotels. And so once we really started doing that, we started trying to make time for it with each trip if we could. And even when we have the little kids, you know, there's always fun things to do. They like Downtown Disney, just walking around or, you know, getting ice cream or doing the different things. And it kind of gives you a break from the theme parks. And, I mean, the other areas of the theme parks are just as well themed as the theme parks themselves, if you can really take the time to enjoy them. You know, go resort hopping is something my wife and I like to do. You know, you can park there, just let them know that you're, you know, just checking out the hotel or whatnot. They really don't give you an issue unless they're really busy. And just walk around and enjoy the theming of the different resorts. Enjoy the shops. I mean, not all the shops are always the same. And then, of course, there's different restaurants, you know, like the beach, Beaches and Cream, and then you have all the different areas of the boardwalk. So it's something we try and make time for. It doesn't always work, but it's really what I enjoy the most about going to Disney.
You know, I do too. Even though I don't, you know, I'm not a Florida resident, I do really, when I slow down and spend time at the resorts, that's some of my most enjoyable time on my vacations. You know, like even going over to Riverside and walking the paths and listening to the horses pull the carriages and see the boats go down the Sascula River. That's awesome. I don't get that in my everyday life. So great points there. Now, it's kind of, we wrap up today. You're a Florida resident, and Disney does a pretty good job. Of course I'm not down there, but I think of trying to get the residents of Florida involved in Walt Disney World with different discounts that are eligible to them and nobody else. Like, you can get tables in Wonderland, which you got to be an AP holder or a Florida resident to get that. But also they'll throw out some room discounts for Florida residents and things like various kinds of annual passes beyond just the standard annual pass that I can buy as a resident of Missouri. So maybe share things you've learned as far as Disney discounts and ways to save money exclusively for Florida residents.
The Table of Wonderland card is actually a great one. We just started that this year. And it's for, obviously, for people who like to go out to eat. It doesn't cover a lot of the restaurants inside the theme parks or the counter service inside the theme parks. But if, like I said, if you like to resort hop, it just went and we've gone twice since we bought the Tables in Wonderland card. We paid $100 because we're annual pass holders, and it's already paid for itself. So it's a great thing. It also comes in handy for alcohol. Like I said, my wife and I just went, just the two of us, and pretty much every resort bar that we went to that we had a couple of drinks, it covered. And, you know, that's a pretty substantial discount if you're going for drinks and for dinner. The other thing that some people I'll talk to are Disney fans here will typically neglect is there's several different types of annual passes that are available to Florida residents, not just your standard, your premium pass and things like that. You have your, like I said, we have the seasonal pass where we can go on weekends and during the week, but we get blacked out. The summertime, from the second week of June to about the second week of August, we can't go. And around a week at Easter, and then I think a week, maybe 2 weeks at Christmas, we can't go. It doesn't mean we can't go to the resorts, we just can't go into the parks. You also don't get the pass holder discount if you're staying at the resort. Trying to get a discount at one of the shops that won't work if your pass isn't valid. There's also a variation of that where if you can manage to go during the week, you can be blacked out during weekends, and that's extremely cheap. I mean, if you can plan all your trips during the week, that'll pay for itself real quick. And then also, if you're so close and you're just thinking of attending certain things like food and wine or Flower and Garden, they have an Epcot, I believe it's Epcot After 2 or Epcot After 3 pass. And it's something like $9. So if you just plan on doing those events and every now and then you go to Epcot for dinner or something, one for three, you can get in, and it's a very cheap way to do Epcot. Obviously, you would need to live by, but it's a very cheap way to do it. So there's all different things, and they're all up on the Disney website. But I know a lot of people just think Disney Annual Pass must be very, very expensive, and you know, if you can find a couple things that work, you can do it a little cheaper.
All right. Well, John, we appreciate today's topic. We love talking being a Florida resident because I think all of us hope that we will be sometime. And we've learned a lot. So thanks again, and enjoy your next trip. Sounds like you have one coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, we're going again at the end of April, and then we're going to try and hold off until we go for a week in September. But I really doubt that.
All right. Thanks a lot, my friend, and stay safe out there. I know you're a police officer, so thanks for all you do for us.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Disney vacation. So whether you're headed out to Disneyland or Walt Disney World, you need to have this premium subscription to have the information you need to have a great vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're at magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. So we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thanks so much for starting your Monday with us. Have a happy Cinco de Mayo, but remember, stay safe out there and don't party too hard. So for John, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Have a good one. Keep working hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.